So isn't that amazing? They finished the operation with Debs at 6:30 Sunday night, Wednesday night. So you see the sparkle in her eyes, the joy. Just an amazing God we serve. And so I'm going to do the technical side here. Hopefully we'll get it right. And just while you can turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. I think I put in the right code. Haven't done this for a whole week. Okay. And while we're turning there, while I'm thinking on my feet, you all know that our dear Candyman went to be with the Lord on Friday night, on Friday morning, and so his people call it a funeral, but it's a homecoming celebration. We're gonna have a homecoming celebration tomorrow morning. There's a viewing at 10 o'clock. I've emailed it out to all of us. You should all know this. And service will be at 11 o'clock. It'll be at the Rexdale Alliance Church in Islington Avenue Drive. Avenue. And we have been told that when you go down Islington, it forks and it goes Rexdale and it goes Islington. Because the church is called Rexdale, don't go Rexdale, stay on Islington. So you go down to Islington. And we went down, Bridge and I spent a couple of hours with the family yesterday evening. And we went down, there was some road works at Islington. But they said it will be gone by tomorrow. So you just better check that, otherwise you might be late. And because we are HCC, Heart City Church family, and because Bob, some of you, most of you probably don't even know who his name is, but you know him as the Candy Man. And because of that, if you're coming to the funeral tomorrow, to the homecoming celebration, probably Bridget or one of the ladies is going to have a bag of candies. And I want you to take a handful of the candies and don't eat them. And at the end of the service, I want us as Heart City Church, because this way he was the candy man, I want us to take candies and go and shake hands with people. Stop it, you two. And give them candies from Bob. Are you good with that? So we're going to do that as our Heart City Church family thing. And I just thought it would be a cool idea. And the family also, they're going to have some pictures and they're going to have a big bucket of candy there for him, for people to take. But I want us as a family to take the candies and dish them out to the people in remembrance of a great candy man. Okay. Now that I've upset half of you, I want you to tell you this. I don't know if how much I'm going to get to preach today. Marge is so strong. We sat with the family and we spoke and then we cried and they cried and everyone else cried and Marge was hallelujah, praise Jesus, his body is whole, and she just kept going on and we were like, okay, is she ever going to break down and cry with us? But she is so strong and she sends her love and, so really be good if you could make it out there. So this morning I want to speak on the victory of the cross. And I love Kev's choice, he didn't know. He is victorious. Because he is victorious, we are also victorious. So Galatians 6:14, let's just start there first. But far be it from me to boast, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What Paul is saying here is all the world, all the worldly systems, all the worldly advice, all the worldly ideas have been crucified to me. And then the clincher for it, of course, is, and me to the world. Means that dark tunnel I spoke about, or that sort of wall, that dividing wall is completely broken, and I've stepped over, and these things over here do not have an influence on my life at all. Because I have decided, I have chosen to separate myself from that. And he says categorically, the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. My question is this morning, before we go on, is can we say that of ourselves? Can we say that I've been crucified to the world? I live for Jesus Christ only. He was punished so we could be forgiven. He was wounded so that we could be healed. He was made sin so that we could be made righteous. He died our death so that we could live His life. He took our shame so we could share His glory. He endured our rejection so that we could be accepted. That is what Jesus did for us on the cross. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, just over the page, reading from verse 1 down to verse 10. And we can see here through this thing, we had an old master, we had old motives, we had old measures, and we had old mandate, or a old mandate. But all that is new. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. It's a strong language from Paul. Among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Old master, old motive, old measure, old mandate. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, and even when we were dead in our trespasses, so just remember, dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him. We are dead in the trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and now we are seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, if we didn't get it before, for by grace you have been saved through the faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, that no one may boast. And all we can do is boast in the cross. I am dead to the world, and the world is dead to me. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Here endeth the reading for that one. But now we have a new master. We have been called into a new realm. And it's not good enough, and far too many people say, I've been saved and I have a savior. But we forget to take the other end of that grace, is that He's also my Lord and Savior. The Lordship, understanding the Lordship of Jesus Christ, that He is not just our Savior, but He is the Lord of my life, and therefore I am dead to the world and the world to me, because I have a new master. We used to live for ourselves, following the course of this world, the old master, carrying out the passions and the pleasures and the results of our bad choices, because it says that we were children or sons of disobedience. But now Scripture tells us we are a new creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Dead to the world, the world is dead to me. And sometimes we can be dead to the world, but the world keeps come knocking. And we get to choose whether we just look through close the spy hole and go back to our fireside, Or we get to open the door and say, come on in and let's party. We have a new master. We have a new motive. Unfortunately, our motives are always self-centered. So much of the world revolves around me that I became my own little celestial being and everything orbited around me. Look at me. Look how everything, I am the center of the universe. And far too many preachers preach of the power within and the power of your one and the power of that you have. Scripture tells me I am nothing without Christ. So therefore Christ who lives in me is the center, the centrality of Christ. I had my own private little thing going on, but our new motive, not should be, could be, would be, possibly, must be, love. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. Also it says, compels us, because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. And again, as we preached a little while ago, the message of reconciliation. We have been reconciled to the Father because of the Son. All we should do for love. So when you belong to a family, which we love to preach here, and I trust we all start to believe it, but when we live in a family and we love one another, we should want to do things for one another. And I know you might say, well, this is starting to sound a little bit manipulative, Mark, but no, I'm just trying to teach you something. That you should come here with a heart willing to help us teach the kids. You know, we talk about volunteers in the kingdom. I hear so many, well, we can't expect too much of the church because they're just volunteers. I think that is absolutely disgusting. Do you even think that way? Well, I'm just a volunteer. Are you? You volunteered for the kingdom, maybe. No, Christ died and you were bought at a price. Why would you belittle yourself to such a level of just I'm a volunteer? It's like the woman should, when I say, make the sentence, all the women here should shout and jump and scream, okay? So I've given you a pre-warning. When a wife says, I'm just a housewife. I'm just, thank you, Janine. I'm just a homemaker. That is terrible. That is so belittling and demeaning. I don't have much time this morning. We went on, but I went to, you know, to become Canadian and all that, I had to go and write an English exam. There's a new law in Canada now that to become a landed immigrant and citizen, you have to write an English exam. Dom Ledsom, they're in Cuba at the moment, he wrote his last week. It's an 8-hour exam. Stressful. So, the question I was asked, because it gets very political, there's a whole thing you have to do, and you have to write some essays. And the essay I was asked to write was, do I believe that housewives should be paid for by the government? That was my point, Janine. They thought they could play political games with me, but I got very clever. And I told them what I thought. I'm not going to tell you. And at the end, I said, but even if we did that, the government could not afford to pay these ladies because they would need to earn the salary of a CEO or a director of a company. There we go. Now we're getting it right. We have a new motive. And what I'm saying is that your motive when you come here should be, how can I make this all work together? Can I help? Can I make coffee, or do you think that's too demeaning? Can I help with the kids, or do you think that's too demeaning? Alan, where's Alan? He's in the back. Yeah, good, he's awake. Put his hand up straight away. I knew he wasn't scarving off there. Every Sunday, every Wednesday, Alan comes and makes his chair straight for you, so you can sit in straight rows. So it looks nice when we come. So our house looks presentable. Thank you, Ellen. Yeah, thank you. And it's some of the stuff you don't think, well, just think about some of the little things. Who cleans the floor for us? Every Tuesday, Hedley comes for a couple of hours and cleans the whole church for us. I know, it's his job, he gets paid for it, but he comes and he does it. I'm just trying to labor a point there. Where have I lost my place here? I don't even know where I am. Sundays, okay, because of the love for one another, we should be wanting, the point I'm making, wanting to serve one another. Coffee doesn't just get into the urn all by itself and get hot by itself. There you go. Someone's got to do it. So if you want to help, storm Susan straight afterwards. Okay, where are we? We have a new measure. This is just the introduction, by the way. We have a new measure. So what is a measure? It's a new standard. We don't live according to the old standard. We don't live according to the old way. It's brighter. It's more. Remember last week we said, even when we were dead, even in our death, the Christ died for us. How much more in his life? And it added two or three times. Even more, much more. Glory to glory, much more. A new measure. Some in the world, so the world system's here. God kingdom's over there. Not church system. Do you see how I made the difference? Okay. World system. So when I meet someone, I want to know, what do you do? What kind of job do you have? What car do you drive? Where do you live? What house do you live in? How much money have you got in the bank? How many holidays do you go on? World system. But it doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, lawyer, civil engineer, or the guy who comes and sweeps the street for us or cleans your neighborhood for you. In the kingdom, at the foot of the cross, the ground is level. We all come at a level place in Christ Jesus. Galatians 3:28. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:14. Oh, I'm forgetting to do all this stuff, eh? What have I got here? Is Ken doing this for me? Am I catch caught up? For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. And I think I've explained it to you previously in a sermon, that dividing wall of hostility they're talking about, he says they've broken it down in his flesh, but actual fact, in the synagogue, there was a wall that surrounded the synagogue and Gentiles, women, and children couldn't come past that wall. They had to stand on the outside. And there was inscribed on that wall what would happen to you, what death would take you if you did cross that wall. And only the men could go into the holy sanctum. Ooh, there we go. I'm getting petty excited in the front row. Jesus came and he broke down that wall. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. In the sight of Christ Jesus, we are all one. It's the new measure for us. And then number four, we have a new mandate. Our new mandate, Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Our new mandate is that we have been given the ministry of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 5:18. When God reconciled man, Jesus was the agent. And as last week we said when I preached, we became the ambassadors. And we are the ambassadors for Christ Jesus that go and take this message of reconciliation. If any of you ever don't cry in movies, I know Kev does because he told me. He watched Soul Surfer and eventually I got him to admit that he cried. I cried like a baby. Hey, listen, I'm secure in my manhood. I saw a movie last night and Bridget and I called The Grace Card. Anyone seen it? No. Okay, if you want to cry, go and see it. It's a Christian movie. Yeah. And just at this given time, it's about a kidney transplant. And forgiveness. It's a worthwhile watch. Really, it is. The Grace Card. Okay, anyway, I'm moving on. So now we have a new master, a new motive, a new measure, a new mandate. And what does that equal for us? That equals victory. because we can walk in victory. Quick 3 or 4 points on victory, and then I'll be done for today. Number one, the victory of the cross gives us victory over sin. John 8:34. Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin." That's clear. Romans 6:16. "Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed." Very important piece in there. "And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness." And that is an amazing piece, and the book of Romans is an amazing expose on the message and the love of grace. But we need to understand, and we always taught, no, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. But we also need to know that grace is not la la land. Grace, if I'm a slave to the law, because I'm obedient to the law, if I'm a slave to grace, it's because I'm obedient to grace. And grace is not a thought or an idea. Grace is Jesus. We have victory because Jesus became our sin. And all those words, propitiation, expiation, salvation, redemption, reconciliation. It's like David and Goliath. We need to understand. We read that one died. One lived, all lived. It was like David and Goliath. When they went into the valley, and David was there with Goliath, and Goliath came, and we know the whole story. The whole of Israel got to celebrate and walk in the victory because of David's victory. And because of Jesus' victory on the cross, we get to celebrate and walk in the victory of Jesus on the cross for us. We have number two. I'm going quickly. I just want to see if there's anything else I need to tell you. I said that the teaching was important, that the piece on the teaching. That's important because of what we submit ourselves to. And I was teaching with the elders and the deacons the other night, and I was just saying, sometimes we think when you hear the word theology, we close our eyes and run away because that's for the clever guys or for the super spiritual guys. No. Theology is for everyone. Theology is simply the study of God. And when we learn to walk in a deeper theology, the more we will come to know our Creator. When we learn the words like propitiation, and the word that we probably don't use very much anymore, expiation. We understand that and we get the message of the cross. That is what it's all about. And when we learn to know more about the character and the nature, and people come and say, God told me to do this. God told me to sleep with my boyfriend. No, he didn't. Well, no, he did. He definitely did. No, he certainly didn't, because it's against his nature and his character. Because then you're making God a liar. That's a real situation that we dealt with in another country, another town. <What's> No, but seriously, we have to learn to understand the character, the nature of God. Okay, let's go. I'm out of time. Victory from the law. Colossians 2:14. Cancelling the record of debt that stood against us with its illegal demands, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Galatians 5:1. For freedom Christ has set us free and stands firm, therefore we do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Christ came and he ended the law of Moses, took us into the new revelation of grace. Go and write down 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Go and read 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And maybe one day we'll preach it as part of a series, but it'll help you to understand the difference between the law and grace. What the law does, the word kills, it doesn't bring life. It sets you aside. Grace, freedom, brings life. Part of the family, etc., etc., etc. You know what I did? I lost the whole page when I was preaching here. I did too, eh? Okay. So where did we get? Holy Spirit, help me this morning. Michael. I don't know how I did that. I'm getting excited. I hope you can edit this tape. Okay, let's go quickly. We're talking about victory. I'm all messed up. Romans 8:37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:4. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And that was so important for me to share that with you, so we understand the victory that we walk in. Goodness me. When we think of victories, what do we think of? How do we come to that? We think of military victories? Do we think of when we win a game show? There was a certain country in the 1860s, and when they had their victories, they'd go out to war, and when they came back to war, those guarding the gate and standing at the gate and said, why are you guys coming home? What is the point? Why? How can we let you into the city? And they would stand outside the city and they would sing their victory songs and tell of their deeds and of their prowess and their victory. And then they would march into the city. And I'm just guessing, and hence, I don't know this for sure, but hence the word freedom of the city and why soldiers today march through the city and get the freedom of the city. As Bob has done for many, many, many years. Do you think of the NHL, NBA, NFL, Super Bowl? I know for me, when I was doing martial arts and we'd go into a competition, the instructor used to say, no pain, no gain, don't leave it in the judge's hands. So we had to go out and make sure that everyone understood we were the victor. I was the victor. But as sons of the King, when we talk of victory, we see a very different picture engage. It's a victory we celebrate that was won by someone else. It's a victory that we couldn't win for ourselves. Only by accepting and sharing in this victory can we attain it. It was not won through military strategy, athletic skill, or firepower. Force and violence was not used to win this victory. This victory was achieved through love, sacrifice, and the power of the resurrection. It stands as the greatest victory in all the earth. And what is so good about it is an eternal victory that is self-perpetuating. Because as people come into the kingdom of God, that victory perpetuates itself over and over again. And now I can go back to where I was. If you're taking notes this morning, I know I've messed you up completely. Sorry, Alan. Let me just land this thing. Victory from the law. Next one is victory from death. Victory over death. 1 Corinthians 15:54. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on the immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can you imagine with me arriving on the battlefield, and you've got all your armor, or you think you've got all your armor, and you've got your boots and your whatever you got, and your shield and your breastplate and sword and a spear, and you arrive there and you line up. And if you've ever been to war, there's a lot of fear. But actual fact, there's a sick excitement that comes. We get a war. Yeah. And then the commander stands up and say, relax, dudes. Battle's over. It's won. What? We don't have to go to war. Jesus went to war on the cross and he won the victory. All we have to do is be faithful to the commander. All we have to do is keep shining our equipment. Ephesians chapter 6. Make sure it's all looking good and sparkly. Because when it looks like that, the enemy knows he's got no chance. Because we need to get this into our head that he is defeated. And we're going to talk about that one next. But where there's victory over death, because through the word is noted that when we belong to Christ, there's a great fear of death when we don't belong to Christ. You can go and talk to pastors throughout the world. You can talk to funeral parlors throughout the world. When people do not know Jesus Christ, he says there's an element of fear and of the unknown that pervades through the family. That's why Ma just to be able to sit and to stay. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because she knows what has happened to Bob. She knows where Bob is. We cry because we're sad in our hearts. We cry because we mourn, and that's a healthy thing to do. But in her heart, she is convinced the victory is won. He is in a better place. He's reunited with some of his family that have gone on ahead. And he's there, and he's glorious. His body is not weak and messed up. And he is strong. And he's walking paves of gold. And I know, I imagine, I don't know everything that Bob did in this, I'm going to say it again. Bob was in this church for 62, 63 years, something like that. Do we get that? I'm not even that old. Bob has been in this church longer than I've been alive. And most of you too. And he served in this church. Did he run in and did he do the coffee? Maybe sometime. I understand sometime he was the librarian. Is that right? He looked after all the books in the church. I don't know what else he did, but shall I tell you Bob's greatest ministry? Bob's greatest ministry, and if you come, you'll hear me talk about it tomorrow. I call him, many faces of Bob Porter is what I'm going to speak on. Barnabas Bob. Bob was an encourager. That was his ministry. Any of you who have ever had a candy given to you, you never just got the candy. You got a word of encouragement. And Bob and I had this amazing little, I think it was amazing anyway to me. And every time he gave me this candy, I'd shake his hand. I'm going to tell you a secret because, oh, he's got two. And he used to give me two. And he'd say to me, I'd say, Bob, when I grow up, and I'm sincere about this, it's not just a joke, because I love the guy so much. Bob, when I grow up, I want to be just like you. And he used to go, oh, you poor man. Bob was an inspiration. 63 years, some of you lived through that. Probably some of the new members don't know. The people in this church have been here 30 years, 40 years. I don't know who's been the longest here, but the Porters were certainly here for 62 years. And then there's people sitting in these pews today, been in this church 30, 40 years, 20 years, 15 years, 20 years. That's got to tell you something. And this church, like all other churches, has had its ups and downs and ups and downs and plateaus and growths and whatever and its issues. Let's just be real. Bob has stood the test of time and Marge have stood the test of time. When things went awry, they didn't run. When things went awry, they didn't get all messed up. I'm sure they called out to God. Covenant people. Totally went. I'm sorry, I'm just all messed up today. Sorry? Victory over death. Yes, thank you, Janine. Victory over death. If I just read my notes, it'll help. Death is a reality, and we've been surrounded by a whole bunch of death this last month, this last week. And so and it's impacted us here and And sometimes you wonder, how much of this can I take, Lord? But if we just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, keep our eyes fixed on the cross, the victory of the cross, the power of the cross. Romans 5:17. For if because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. We get to reign. We just arrive on the line, front line and say, I'm reigning. Where's my king? That's my king. I'm reigning with him. Because he did it all for me. Isn't that cool? We don't have to shed blood. We don't have to get all messed up and beaten up. We just need to stand on the front line and say, we're here with you. Jesus, Captain Jesus, we're here. Let us walk with you. Okay, last one. Victory over the enemy. John 12:31. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the death, will draw all people to myself. Jesus saw his death. He saw the cross. And he went there for us. Three times he asked in the garden, Father, will you not take this away from me? He says, not your will, not my will, but thine be done. And that's why he went to the cross for us. Hebrews 2:14-15, it's there. Colossians 2:15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities, and I put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Can you imagine Satan and the enemies, the cronies all gathered around when they saw Jesus on the cross? They were like, yeah, baby, this is it. Party, party, party. And 3 days it all went quiet. And they didn't know what was going on. And they were like, for sure, this is done. For good. And then the tomb, the resurrection. And they realized, this is all done. This is a great message of hope, even as messed up as it was. Not what we can attain, but what has been attained for us. Be free. In Christ, a once for all and a once for all time victory has been won. There's no other battles to fight. The battle has been done. The battle is won. There is victory in Christ Jesus. God is not the victim of circumstances. Well, things are not going the way I thought they should. Well, you think that, as Frank would say, you think that surprised God? I don't think so. History is not subject to Satan's plans and devices. Rather, history exhibits the careful plan and foreknowledge of God. If God is for us, who can be against us? I remember that old song, I can't remember the rest of the words, and I'm not going to try and sing it. I wear the victor's crown, and just this morning while I was praying and preparing, they dropped into my spirit, and I said, I wear the victor's crown upon my head, not because of me, not because of anything smart or ever I did. But it's like in the army for your battle, you come and they put medals on your chest. God gave us this victor's crown and put us upon our head. And we can walk in that. One day, we're going to take that crown off and we're going to lay it at his feet. And we say, Jesus, this is yours. It's not mine. Because you are the victor. There is victory in the cross for us. Let's just stand together this morning. Father, we just come to you this morning, Lord God, and we ask by your Holy Spirit that this jumbled melee of words would impact our souls. Father God, we ask, Lord God, that you, by your Spirit, would allow this to resonate in our spirit. That there is victory in the cross. That we have victory. That we walk in victory. That there is freedom and victory in sin. There is victory in death. There is victory over the enemy. And Lord God, we pray as we go depart from here today that that would germinate in our spirit. That we would change, renew our minds, that we would see ourselves as victorious. Not because how clever we are, but because of your glory. all honor to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.